Welcome to Allegedly. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. And today we have a great guest. Looking very handsome today, Patrick.
Wow. Bro.
Mr. Patrick. Well, I might as well just start off that way.
I thought I was looking a little cracked out today.
Mr. Patrick Adams.
Patrick Adams. Yeah, he's got a scruffy beard and a beanie on.
Looking but that's a little Melrose, like Melrose Dangerous.
That's my thing. I'm kind of, obviously.
Yeah, how do you see him? I want to see if we see him with the same eyes.
I see him. I see him. It's like Burning Man hot.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's a little hipster, but a little out there, but in the sexy way, not in the gross dirty way. I'm not a Burning Man person.
I've been to Burning Man 3 times, so you're not off. You're not far off.
Burning Man hot.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's Burning Man not hot, which are like is disgusting.
I'm about a year away from that. It's a t-shirt with no pants.
Exactly. Wow. So this is Patrick Adams, star of the show Suits on USA. And I got to just say this because this is one of my favorite stories about Theo. One time he brought a girl to, we were playing trivia and the girl was beautiful. Had a very strong lisp, and I asked her what her favorite show was in the world, and of all shows to pick,
no.
You could have picked any show. American Idol doesn't have an S in it. She picked Suits, or as she says,
come out.
Suits.
Oh, no.
And then I'm like, and Theo, who knows she has a lisp, goes, what? And I was like, she goes,
what do you
Suits?
I couldn't hear her.
So he just keeps making her say
and
it.
Then,
over
so
and over.
I said, Suits, Theo, it's Suits.
Just sound it out for me.
Exactly. He's trying to cure her problem right there. She gets up, goes to the bathroom, and he goes, you know, she's got a lisp, right? I was like, yeah, I got that.
Notice.
Anyway, Suits. So
well, we're grateful for her support.
You're very popular in the lisp crowd. We are going to do our Allegedly podcast, which is a competitive podcast, and you get to serve as the judge and the celebrity interviewer.
Yep, because you are the celebrity today.
You are, dude. Oh,
Matt likes to think it's him.
Yeah.
But today it's not. And we told you the rounds, so we're going to start with round one.
Yeah. So round one is we each get to tell a story, and so I'll start.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a true story that happened to me last week when I auditioned for Wheel of Fortune.
Wait.
I know.
Okay.
I know, right?
All right.
Okay. So,
and I can ask questions along the way.
You can certainly ask questions.
Okay, good.
So ever since I kind of left my job and I've been doing freelance work, I've been like, how am I going to make money? And in the past, I did like focus groups. I babysat. I
raised his brother's rent.
Stole money from my family.
Sure.
And so I was watching Wheel of Fortune. I was like, why don't I go on Wheel of Fortune? So all you have to do is literally make a video on the website. And with like computers these days,
a problem.
All you have to do is just hit a button and it records it. Yep. Unlike photo booth. Yep. So then I get a call and they're like, come on in. So I actually went in for this Wheel of Fortune audition.
Can I just stop you right there? Just a quick hammer out what you did on your video. Just like a hi, I'm Matthew Cole Weiss.
Yeah, hi, I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. Huge fan.
It's basically just to separate the wheat from the chaff. Like, make sure you're not super odd.
Exactly.
You can say words.
That I could put together a sentence. Okay. That
it's
I
not witness
okay.
protection. Yeah. You're not like half hidden. Yeah.
But that being said, when I went to the audition, there were some people there and I was like, holy shit, dude. These guys made the cut. Aside from some of them being dummies. I mean, like dummies. Yeah, like, dummies. You have to do the puzzle and they're not getting it. And I'm like, it's right there.
Guys, it's there.
It's
literally
there.
Every letter is on the
There's only two pieces.
You should have studied. I don't know how, but you should have studied. Anyway, this doesn't,
time's ticking.
So I go and it's at a hotel, right? And they do like in a conference room or hotel, there's about 50 people. And the first thing they make you do is the first thing to do is play an intro video from Vanna and Pat, which, by the way, is from like 1987. You would think that they would up their game a little bit, but it's like, he doesn't look like that at all anymore. You know, and I was like, who are these people? Anyway, so you do that and you have to just stand up and they're like, just call out a letter. We want to hear how you call out letters. So you stand up and you just go S, whatever. Okay, fine. Second round is they shorten it and you have to take a test, a written test.
That would have been a problem for your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. F. What?
You're out.
F.
Hit the roof.
F? There are no Fs, man.
Sorry, ma'am. You're out.
Thathafrag. Jesus. Asta.
Fuck a pav.
Okay.
Thop. She's very pretty. So the second round is you have to take a test, which I aced.
Yeah.
I killed it. And I was like, I
what
got
kind of
this.
Test? You mean just the test?
Yeah, they give you blank, like with a couple, like a written test.
Oh.
Yeah,
like you're
there's
going
like 20
through
puzzles.
And they give you the blanks and you have to solve as
Yeah,
many
they're like
possible.
Two or three letters in each one. And you saw, I aced it. So right. then they whittled it down to less people and I made that cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make you stand up and actually play. And so there's three people and you have to pretend that there's a wheel. and you have to spin the wheel. And if you don't spin it good enough, they go, come on, it's like 2,000 pounds. Like, give it your best spin, right?
But there's no actual wheel?
There's no wheel. So
you're just miming a wheel spin?
Yeah, I'm like making noises just to like make it sound. I'm like, it wasn't working. Anyway, so I'm nervous,
got
right?
Like a minute left. Man.
Okay, I'm nervous, right?
Yeah.
And in my head, and they said, when you call a letter, just call the letter.
Yeah.
Don't say I'd like a, yeah. just say R.
Yeah.
Okay? Spin R.
Yeah.
Spin R. I knew I wanted to pick an N in this one. So yeah. spin N, spin N. So I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I spin and then I go, I'd like to buy an N.
No. No.
For whatever reason. No. And they look at me and they're like, first off, there's no I'd like to buy. You cannot buy an N. An N is not a vowel. And secondly, we told you just to say the letter. And I was like, I don't know. I got nervous, you know, like, I'd like to buy an N. And then
I really would like to buy an N.
And then it's always like, honestly, are there any N's? And then there were N's and I solved that puzzle.
Really?
Very well.
Wait, that's your story?
But then, so what? What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
What happened is,
wow.
Brr. All right, it goes down. I think it was funny. What happened is I will hear in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, so you don't know yet.
I don't know yet.
Oh, I feel good about your chances. Still.
I feel good about my chances too. Although at the end, they said, they called me, they had me stay behind and they look, you look really familiar. And I was like,
TMZ? No, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, TMZ. And they're like, oh, are you still affiliated? I said, I'm not anymore. And they're like, okay. And then they're like, what was it like working at TMZ? I was like, come on, everybody does that. You know, everybody will, when I used to work there, they'd say like, oh, you worked at TMZ. Oh, and then they'd go, what are the Kardashians like?
Yeah.
You know,
tell me everything.
My grandmom used to do that. She'd say, I hate that show. Like, I can't watch it. I can't watch you on it. And then she'd go like, I'm not interested. And then she'd go, and those Kardashians, did you hear what Khloe did?
And you're like, you're the problem.
You're why it's there. You're the reason why I have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my story.
Great story.
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Fingers crossed.
I'm proud of you for putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Wow. Dude, who knows?
Yeah. Get out there.
That's
and
that's
by the
positive.
Way, I want to
audition
really
for
good.
Wheel of Fortune. I just want to, like, it sounds fun. It sounds like a good way to, like, rather than most auditions,
it was
just
like
crush your spirit.
Hours.
It sounds like an actual nice way to spend an afternoon.
Like, you could, like, have that Aaron Paul video that's out there. I could see that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he was. Yeah, he was on.
Well, oh, yeah,
when he got down, he was on Price is Right.
Price is Right.
You could have that video, but it could be for you.
It was 3 hours long, though.
Wow.
And you have to talk with regular folk.
Your time's up.
You're done. You're done. Yeah, you got to talk to the
There's a lot of people who are way too enthusiastic.
No way. Like a lot of creeps that applied online.
Yeah. There's always that one woman who just won't, she'll talk to everybody and she's overexcited. And
I do think that you should post your audition video.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you get it, that's great.
I have it. It's on, saved on my computer.
I hope you're crying in it.
All right, go ahead, Theo.
All right. So
time on the clock now for Theo's.
When I first got out here to Los Angeles, a friend of mine and I were trying to sell a TV show. It was about, like, basically, it was called Street Games, where you would go and just, like, we just took cameras out into, like, to the local park, basically, and, like, found people that we could get to play games, right? Like, one time we had, like, a beanbag race around a busy intersection in Santa Monica, right? So we literally went to, like, by a Home Depot and got some migrant workers, or basically anybody who's on the street. So we're walking in the
I'm guessing there was no permits, no insurance.
No, they didn't have to have this then.
Okay.
No.
Street games.
Street games.
Games on the street.
We did have a waiver that we made up.
You did, yeah, of course.
Don't worry about all that stuff in street games.
So we had, we got a couple of, so we found a couple of contestants that wanted to play, right? They happened to all be three Latino gentlemen, right? And I didn't speak Spanish very well, but I tried. And
it's a good for you.
So everybody got a potato sack, right? And we got them at like Olympic and I want to say maybe about 11th, right?
What episode of Street Games are we in right
now?
Is this
the pilot?
Pilot of Street
Games?
This is the pilot.
You're going right for it with the potato sack race for the pilot.
100%, right? So
migrants and potato sacks.
Everybody gets at the stop at the corner, right? And we just have two cameras. It's just me and my buddy, right? And
you're holding a camera?
Yeah, I'm holding the camera. Okay, my buddy's on the other corner holding the camera. And so then they press the walk button. And once it goes, they're off, right? And you can cheat if you want. You can like go when it's not on.
Yeah, but then you might get hit by a car.
It's your safety, right? Yeah. It's your safety.
But they did come across the border apparently. So I mean, that's what you're saying.
It's good news. You're already in a bag of some sort.
That's true. That's true. If you get killed, you're already in a bag.
This is terrible.
Boom, we hit them. Three guys go, right? They're off. One guy like hits the pavement right out of the dirt, right? But gets back up and he's still cruising. And then everybody makes it all the way around. And then we gave a prize, like $40 was first prize. Second prize was this chair that I made at church camp when I was a child. Beautiful chair. And
you're giving away your own furniture.
We didn't have much. Like, we spent all the money on first place. Everything else was the other stuff was optional.
Which was $40. Yeah. That's all the money.
Yeah. Third place was a hat. Uh-huh. Okay. Third place was a nice hat.
A nice hat. But, did the hat say anything on it?
It said it was like a Spanish place where you go to, like Puerto Vallarta.
You mean a city?
Were you guys aware of the racial undertones of this whole endeavor at the time?
No, everybody was into it.
That was cool. That was just part of it.
All people were vibing, right?
Okay.
I mean, these guys wanted to play, like, and everybody got paid to play. Like, it was, those dudes made money.
You got paid to play?
Oh, everybody got paid $60 to play.
Oh, okay. That's so important. You're making some money. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So then we came up with another game. It's called Say Hello to My Little Friend, right? So we put a bunch of flour on a table in the park, right? And we put keys, like a bunch of different keys, like about 30 different keys in the flower. Oh, no. And then we had a huge duffel bag over to the side, got on Craigslist, got a little person to come, right? Yeah. $60, right? Got this guy to come, get in the bag, right? So then we found three kids in the park.
Little kids?
Oh.
Or like teenagers.
Probably about 5 foot. So then they had to have their hands behind their back, use their face on the flower to push.
How young are the kids? How young are we talking about here?
There was two kids
whose parents needed to be there for you to be doing what you need. Were
one
doing?
Kid's dad was there cheering him on, so that was fine. Yeah. The other kid was his friend, and then the other one actually was an older man who combed his
who
hair.
Who was with the kids, and we weren't sure.
In a park.
Who combed his hair before. More than you should. He kept combing
his hair.
Your
time is running out, buddy.
Yeah. Anyway, so you had to like push the keys off the table with your face, right? And once it hit on the ground, you could pick the key up and try it on the bag, and then you had to let the guy out and yell out, say hello to my little friend, right? That was the game, right?
It's a good game.
It was awesome, dude. So we say go. People were gathered around. It was freaking amazing. And somebody knocked the key off and opened the, and then the little guy goes, he's like, well, what if I get stuck in there, you know?
Like, what if we don't find the key?
Well, yeah, he goes, if I do, I'll just knock, right? And I'm like,
on a bag?
Yeah, you can't knock on a bag. So apparently he grew up around like knockable bags, right? But anyway, so somebody pushed the thing off and the man won, actually, because the kids kind of, one of the kids got a little bit sick and then the man won.
The man won.
The older man, the combing man.
Dude, he would stop every 30 seconds and take out this little comb your grandpa used to have and just comb each side of his hair back.
How many episodes of this show got made?
Three episodes.
What on earth shut you guys down? If that was the first episode.
It was Capital. We ran out of Capital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Basically.
Need a little bit more money.
Have people seen these episodes?
We put them online for a while. I mean, this was like 10 years, probably 8 years ago. But we never, we pitched it to MTV and they, I guess, considered it, but they never picked it up.
Wow.
It was just like kind of like it was a mild Jackass.
And then it became Suits.
But performance.
Right? Yeah.
Same producer.
The incarnation of Suits. Yeah. All right, that's it, dude. You got two different stories.
These are both stories about the American dream.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was. But that's the point. This is what it's really like in Hollywood.
This is two guys in Hollywood just making it happen.
Look, we tried to sell. I mean, we went out and pitched that show. Yeah. We packaged. We put it together. We put music and everything.
I've directed movies, worked and stuff, and I still have to go on Wheel of Fortune to make money. All right.
You know, it's a tough call because there's a lot of racial pitfalls to the second story. And we live in a different America now. I mean, how long ago was that? 3 years ago?
Probably 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
And some of the men are still doing well.
You checked in with these guys.
The guy that combs his hair, Richard, I see him probably, I would say, once every 8 months.
Okay. So, you know, I might have to give you the win here.
Yep.
I might have to give you the win because your story has an ending. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And it's a happy ending.
Oh.
It's you and Richard. Now, you know, if this were 2 weeks from now, and either way, I know the end of your story, then that's the story.
But I asked to buy an
end. The story was, it's a good punch. It's a punchline, but it's not an ending.
All right.
It's not an ending to a story.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Every Hollywood story has to end with heartbreak or victory. And you haven't had either yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I can sense which way it's going.
And Richard is doing well. He's usually at Reed Park.
You say you can sense which way it's going. You think you're not going to be on the show? Oh, I have high hopes for you.
I do too.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, it would be pretty awesome.
Check back in. I think you're going to get it.
Yeah. We'll see.
I think the three of us should do it.
Good things don't happen to me, Patrick. Good things don't happen to me.
I feel you, man.
I don't think it's going to happen.
That's true. Your bathroom flooded the other day.
He's not wrong about that.
Yeah, my bathroom flooded yesterday. It was wonderful. Anyway, so moving on to round two.
All right.
So as we said.
I'm sorry. I mean, I feel like this is. That's all right. I want to apologize to you because you brought me on your nice podcast.
Wait until we tear into you here.
He wins.
I can get my revenge.
All right.
No, so now we're going to round two, which is our interview segment with Patrick Adams, star of Suits on USA, which is in season five, six?
I think it's 15.
Yeah. Season 15, yes.
Yeah, we're in season. We just finished season five going into season six.
So are you filming? Or?
We are done now. We just finished five.
Five.
Now we got 5 months to get our brains back together.
And that brings me to my first question. Do you have to wait to see if six gets picked up?
No, it's already done.
It is.
Yeah, it's already picked up.
When did you find that out?
We found out really soon this year. They've told us like before we started finishing. We split the season into 10 episodes and six episodes. And usually we don't find out until like the end of sort of episode 15 or 16. This time they told us before we were even done with like episode 9.
Wow.
That we were getting picked up.
Well, congratulations,
first of all.
And just to really get an insight what that's like for people who, you know, aren't in this business or for people that are, what's it like to be on a successful show and then still have to wait? There must be that moment where it kind of gets around. You're like, is this going to...
You know, we got really lucky with this show. This was like my first kind of experience with a lot of this. I'd been on a couple of pilots. I'd been fired before. I'd gone through a couple of like hell experiences that I knew were not right even before they went wrong.
Right.
With this one, I was just kind of like, this is fun. I'm just going to wait and see what the next step is. So we made the pilot and I was like, that was great. But there was this just always a general sense that we were going to get picked up.
Right.
The network was really supportive. Everybody really liked it. Then we got picked up and then we were too busy just trying to make the show to worry about a second season. Mm-hmm. We were just like, I was just so excited getting to actually work every day.
Right.
So we did that. So I don't remember any sort of like real freak out or wondering if it would happen. And then by the time the second season rolled around, the show was already sort of just a hit. Like people were into it. We knew we had a solid fan base. And so ever since then, I just haven't really thought about it.
I've always
focused on the season and always sort of assumed. Also, you know, I talk to the producers and stuff and they'll always sort of be very confident that it's going to come together and
we're
going to get the call. So, you know, it'll be more interesting as we head towards the end of a six and, you know,
and see what
potentially
happens.
Into a seven. Like, you know, is it seven? Is it six? Is it seven? Is it eight?
Right.
Do you get tired of it?
It's a job and it's a long job. I was just reading an article today someone wrote, and it was one of the first times I've ever read it, where they actually outlined what it is to shoot a TV show, the hours that go into it. It's brutal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like any other job in the world isn't brutal, but the hours are really long. But it's, you know, the beginning of it's great. I would say like the first 6 months is like it flies by, you're having fun, and then it just sort of wears on you by the end of it.
Yeah.
But everybody's awesome. We all love each other.
So I want to ask though about this. Tell me one of your experiences that hasn't been such a
glowing
one.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned getting fired. Have there been experiences?
Oh, you mean experiences in the industry?
In the industry or personally, you know, it doesn't have to be a job related thing or something about Hollywood, man.
Like, God, there's so many beautiful ones. getting fired wasn't great. That's not great. I mean, in retrospect, it was the best possible thing. The thing was that I was on was doomed to fail from the beginning. And I sort of got in the lifeboat first.
Hmm.
But being the first one fired off something doesn't do wonders for your ego.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have, like, I remember reading that you wouldn't have been able to have Suits if you had been.
Yeah, I think there's
a
little bit of like sort of retrospective justification when I say that. You know, you always want to put your story in line that makes sense inside the. But yes, I think to some extent, like I would not have been ready for Suits had I not gone through that process. It's such a crazy business. It's like a dream factory, and like it's hard to get really real about what you do, who you are, what you're selling, how good you are at what you do, and how to do it. And I think at that time didn't know, and I allowed myself to kind of be caught up in a TV, one of these pilots that was just a disaster because other people were telling me it was going to be this great experience, and I'm sitting there going, guys, this isn't funny.
Right.
Nothing funny about this. Or I don't know how to make it funny.
Right.
And then there was one guy in the cast who was like killing it at the table because he was really big and and huge and making giant jokes and like gestures with his arms, and everybody in the room's laughing. And then I'm like, say a word, and you've just got a room full of crickets. Oh. And you're just like, oh,
Theo's familiar with that. He's a stand-up comedian. A
lot of crickets.
Yeah. I'm jealous of that though, because that's where you learn that skill. I truly believe that like people who do stand-up comedy and people who then transition into writing too, like writing for other people, uh-huh. but writing comedy, and that's it. There's no like middle ground. People are laughing or people aren't laughing.
Right.
And in sort of a more dramatic world, there's a lot of fooling yourself or thinking it's working, or people tell you it's sort of working one day, but it's not working the next. I love the clarity that comes with comedy. And yeah. I've never had the cojones to stand up and do it myself. Even coming into this place, freaks, I feel anxiety.
What did you have the like, was there a different, I read that you do photography as a, you know, as a hobby and are very into that. I mean, that's pretty basic knowledge that's out there. Is there something else that, you know, that you've tried in the industry, like or a new, an act that you tried?
In the industry?
Pornography.
No, like,
did you ever like music, like DJing? We were talking about a little bit ago. Have you ever gotten ventured any of those things?
I never really professionally. The only thing that's coming to mind is just funny. You were talking about Burning Man, and after Burning Man, I decided to become to learn fire dancing.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Because they are in LA, right? Where they'll teach anything here. So
yeah. I'm not familiar dancing. With what that is.
Fire, it's like when you got.
In Hawaii?
Two chains. Yeah, it's kind of Polynesian vibe where you have like two chains with balls on the end that you set on fire and then you spin them around your body. And
well, you had me
shades.
At Balls on Fire.
Balls on Fire.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's a big thing at Burning Man. Anything on fire. If you're at Burning Man, getting set on fire is a big deal. But the people who dance with fire, it's beautiful. It's an amazing thing to watch.
So you've taken lessons?
And so I came back to LA and of course you're in Los Angeles where it's like, I want to take fire dancing classes. And it's like right down the street from me. Oh, okay, great. We'll go there. So I took some classes there
and had
a great time. And, you know, so I learned to do that in my off time.
Wow.
But that wasn't really a professional.
No, that's really cool.
It is interesting. And when you meet the instructor, because that's one of those things where you go in and you meet the instructor, like,
oh, yeah.
How deep into the fire spinning hole are they?
They're deep. I mean, they have a studio. They have a studio for it. You know, but it's also like an extension. It should be its own show, really. The Burning Man culture is like almost right there, primed for it. But it's an extension of the Burning Man culture. So it's like they teach fire spinning, but there's sort of everything that's Burning Man sort of exists in this other ether, this other realm. Where they all kind of just travel around and they're making like clothes and, you know, dancing with fire and learning new ways of healing each other. It's like this whole sort of Burning Man cult. When you go to Burning Man, you see, you know, every fifth person you see, you go, I have no idea what you're doing any of the other days of the year when you're not at Burning Man, because you have dreadlocks that are down to your knees.
And they're
like
probably
dressed,
a suit.
Like, glitter everywhere. You look, it's like you're not a banker.
They're not,
I don't know
where.
They're
a bunch of food.
Yeah. A bunch of food. What's the craziest scene you've seen at Burning Man? I've never been, and actually, it terrifies me. It seems like just so many people.
It's overwhelming.
I have anxiety.
Is there like orgy meetups? That's what I read somewhere.
There's a lot of sex stuff, but I never saw any of it. It's pretty private.
Right.
Is there, but it's like anything that is sort of. At least what I saw, and I wasn't really seeking it out, to be honest, but I had some friends that saw some things that I heard about, but they went and looked for it. For what I noticed was that most of the sex stuff is stuff that you have to bring a partner to, that you have to, like, you can't just be a single guy that
swingers.
Knocks out, hey, heard about blowjobs. Is that a thing?
Is this the blowjob tent?
I did hear about a guy who had his tent or his yurt or whatever he had, and he just put a sign out. It said cunnilingus is 2 to 4 every day, and then girls would show up and just line up for his tent.
Wow. That doesn't seem very safe or sanitary.
No, there's not a lot. Yeah, there's not a lot of safe going on out there.
Wow.
Actually, that's not, who knows though? There's who all knows? Sorts of technology that you don't know what he's doing in his yurt.
It would be like, would be like putting Larry David at Burning Man. Hilarious. Like, I would not do well. I would not do well.
It would have its way with you. That everyone says that, and then like go in like day one. Yeah. They make you, the thing they do when you get there is they find out who on your, we bought a school bus when we went to Burning Man, so we had a bunch of people, but whoever's in your car or your school bus, they're going to pull you out of it. They say who's a virgin, and whoever hasn't been there before, they pull you out of it, and everyone's always dressed like nicely in their clothes, and they pull you out and they put you on the ground and they make you roll around in the
This sounds
the
like
dirt.
Some Gestapo stuff.
It's pretty good. But
Gestapo.
And then they get up and they hug you and they say welcome home and they send you in. But I think the idea is that you have to get ready to be dirty.
Wow.
Because it's a part of it.
By the way, you bought a bus.
Yeah.
Okay.
We bought a bus. Hey. Still have that bus. Still trying to figure out what to do with it.
Where
that bus.
Does said bus live? That you can't, like, you
Riverside?
Can't,
yeah.
Do you have to move it because of street parking, like, every Friday or something?
Take some street You're spots. Texting somebody on Wednesday morning at 7:30?
Yeah. Could you move my bus?
We've got, we have a very kind person looking after it. They have some huge sort of warehouse in Riverside that they're letting us park there, but I don't think for much longer.
So. Wow.
We bought a bus. That's awesome.
We bought a bus.
Yeah, we tore the seats out. We did the whole thing.
That's a combination of we bought a zoo and get on the bus.
I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat, exactly. I have an interesting question, and I just want to know personally, because I hate wearing suits.
Oh, God. Okay.
Hate them.
Yeah.
Never wear them.
Yep.
Only funerals and weddings, and I try to get away from that.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you are on Sooth, and Burning Man does not seem like Sootsy.
No, it's not. Here's the deal with suits. I don't mind wearing a suit, but I'm like you. I think it needs to be, for me, a perfect situation is a 3 to 4, maybe 5 hour period of time that you're wearing the suit.
Yeah.
If it's a wedding, even then you're taking the tie off.
Right.
Like
right.
Minute 3, and then you're dancing, and then everybody's just
I
got it all untucked.
So
right?
much in a suit. You do
yeah.
sweat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweat.
Yeah. Well, oh. We have to keep the stages pretty cold because of that. But
really, because you get like pit stains and stuff.
Yeah.
Like on the,
I mean, when I go to work sweaty. And I put that suit on for the first time, it does something. It's a real thing. That's why people in like these
suits.
Powerful positions wear these things, because you put it in, you stand up straight. It doesn't let you slouch. I mean, you feel like $1 million.
Like,
but the problem is that we shoot for 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right. And so by the morning I put that thing on and I'm feeling good. By lunchtime, I want to tear it off my body. And by dinner, like I'd burn it. If I
so
could.
As a star of suits,
tear it off your body too.
As a star.
Hello.
Jeepers creepers. As a star of suits, I got to know, what is the best suit to have?
Ooh.
Like the best brand. It changes every year. I've been getting pretty fatter, I'd say, over the years. So it changes, like, what brand is.
So a more Rubenesque.
Some big and tall. Some big and tall.
Santa. A Santa suit.
Well, it was different, too, because Gabriel, like, year one, they were putting him in, like, Tom Ford suits, which are just, like, $30,000, whatever they are. They're just, like, buying a car every time he puts a suit on.
Wow.
And then they'd bring in me for a fitting, and it'd be like, Mark's Work Warehouse. Let's go. which fit for the character. But over the years, I've had to fight for nicer and nicer suits.
So do you have a favorite now? Do you have like a favorite suit?
There's a lot of I'm just saying names like Zenya. A Hugo Boss suit. No, actually, I don't wear Hugo Boss anymore. Prada.
Yeah.
Stuff fits nicely. But it's every year we find like one or two that really do it. But each suit only lasts, you know, half a season.
Yeah.
And you have to like move on. So we have a sort of giant wardrobe that's just kind of shifting out.
Do y'all burn them out?
What
or
happens? Yeah. What happens with the suits?
Well, it's cool. They actually like end up, you know, getting put passed down the ranks to people who might come in for a guest spot or background eventually.
Wow.
So they have
sweet.
All of the suits we've ever used up in Toronto in this huge warehouse, and they all get used eventually somehow.
Wow.
So you could be walking around in a scene and be like, I recognize that guy. That guy walks by you on the street.
He doesn't want to know the things I did in that suit.
Exactly. He pulls old stuff out of the pocket, the jersey. He's like,
smells like me.
Yeah. Speaking of Gabriel, I love Gabriel.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Do you know him?
No. I've heard great things about him. Yeah. I've heard great things, but I mean,
all wrong.
When he was in The Recruit with Colin Farrell, and those are two of my favorites. Like, that was just like a wet dream
just
come
man,
to life.
Just man time.
Yeah, I mean, Al Pacino. Ugh. Screw him. Like, I didn't even need him on scene. Like, Al Pacino.
Farrell and mocked.
So tell me what.
Farrell mocked.
What? It sounds like a disease.
I'm sorry. You've got Farrell
mocked. Or like a psychological test. Did you take your Farrell mocked?
I got my Farrell mocked. You have to say it in German, though.
Talk to me about it. Is he as dreamy
this
as I
dreamy?
Think he is?
He's a great guy. Gabriel's terrific. I don't know if I'd say he's dreamy.
Oh, he's
is he your
dreamy.
Type?
He's not my type.
Yeah.
You can say he's a handsome fella.
He's the handsomest fella, but I'm the guy who has to stand next to the handsome fella all year. So that just was like, come on, put it away already.
that's like what they say about like, if find me any guy with the hottest girl and you'll find someone who's tired of fucking her,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, find me the hottest co-star and you'll find me someone who's
tired
of standing next to him. I don't think I'd ever get tired of Gabriel. And by the way, I'll give you my number afterwards.
I'll let him know. We can text him. He is a very good looking man, and the camera loves him a lot. It's very fair. I'll see him come in on days where he's, because he travels a lot to go see his family and spends a lot of time just in transit. And so, you know, everybody's exhausted, but I'll come into work feeling like just a bag of giant dicks. Like I'm so tired. And he'll come in having just flown like 19 hours and I'll be like, finally, he's going to look terrible. Yes. And then the camera just gets on him and he just looks perfect.
And then does he give you massages ever?
Like, yeah, we're massaging each other constantly. Cool.
And by the way, Gabriel, and this is a sort of connection, is married to Jacinda Barrett.
Do you know Jacinda?
Who was a,
she's a real world.
Theo was a road rules.
Was a rules contestant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She was. She was like one of the first real
she was
world.
One of the first ones. I'm trying to think who else was on the first.
She made it. She's a successful actress, you know?
Yeah, she's she's
some bloodline.
Black?
No.
She's white.
She's
hey, I don't know who she is.
She's Australian.
Then.
Oh, right?
She used to be black.
Until you
she's
told your story.
She's Australian, yes.
Which you could be black and Australian,
I like
too.
Australians,
but she is Australian. But anyway,
I like Australians. Terrific. Yeah.
I got my Gabriel question in. Get.
Okay, so I have this question. So you played, you got to play a boyfriend on Friday Night Lights. I know this is old school.
Oh, yeah.
Of Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that like, dude? Because she's pretty hot. Was that like the.
She's not just hot, she's the coolest.
Yeah.
She really was. She, and that was weird to, it's always weird to show up on a set, somebody else's set, and just sort of be like, hi. And they were in, it was like the eighth episode of the first season. So they were all in that, like, just sort of meshing and becoming really close. And then you're this guy who shows up. And, you know, other people I met in the cast, I didn't have scenes with them. So it was less, you know, but they were kind of like, hey, how's it going? And then walk past me. And there was really no interaction. But she, it was awesome. We hung out actually all week. Her best friend was in town at the time. So we all just sort of went out and had dinner together. And she just really welcomed me to the city. So she was cool as hell.
Friday Night Fan, like, Friday Night Fans are avid.
Yeah, they are avid.
I've never seen
reason.
It actually.
Oh, you need to watch.
No, I know. It just seems very
like it's too late.
Fratty and boyish for me. I don't know.
No. It's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of heart.
What if they had like a spinoff show about you and her? Would that be pretty cool?
I'd be down.
Yeah,
she's busy now though. Right?
Yeah, you're busy too.
She's a superhero.
Yeah, she is a big star.
Huh. She was always into being a superhero.
It was like,
from what I remember, it was her dream. She was like really into it. She had superheroes like around her apartment in there. And like when we were, because the first episode premiered when we were there. So we were all watching it in her place.
Wow.
She was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be a superhero. Now she's been in like G.I. Joe.
And yeah.
She was Wonder Woman for a second.
Pilot or
and
something.
Then
for this.
Now she's going to be super, not Supergirl.
No,
she's doing something else.
Something with that.
Superintendent?
She's going to be superintendent of a building.
Of the Feral Mock building.
Awesome. Yeah, Feral Mock.
She's pretty much hot, man. I saw her at the piano bar not long ago. And
through your binoculars?
She
does the street?
She doesn't have any. Yeah, she doesn't have any physical problems at all.
Yeah, she seemed to be doing swell.
She's doing good.
Her and Gabriel Mock. I'd even watch that.
Really?
Speaking of female co-stars, have you ever had any awkward like sex scenes or makeout scenes or something like that? Or
yeah.
Had to do that?
Yep.
Do they
yep.
tape your penis down or not?
Do they tape your penis? Where did you learn that?
I don't
is that
know.
A thing?
Is
or
that a thing?
Did you make that up in your head?
I guess I just made it up in my head or someone told me that.
Do you tape your penis down ever?
I never have.
Okay.
But you've never had to do a sex scene.
Do you want to tape your penis down?
Okay. No.
But I'm just one.
No, there's the rule that people talk about, which is like before you do a love scene, you say, I'm sorry, either way. You
right.
Know, I'm sorry
really?
If I do. I'm sorry if I do, and I'm sorry if I don't.
Wow.
Either way, it's you know, it's weird. It's all weird. It's going to be weird. Most of the time, I'm lucky, especially on Suits. Megan and I get along really well.
Gave
it's
her
super...
her first acting role.
You did?
Yep. She was in my movie Deceit, a Lifetime TV movie.
Really? Ooh, I want to see
and
that.
She was married to my manager at the time.
That's funny.
Or dating.
She's
at the time.
Doing a life, another Lifetime movie right now,
and another manager.
They are divorced.
The weirdest sex scene I've ever done was with Zoe Saldana and Rosemary's Baby.
Oh,
that was super strange. That whole
is that when y'all made the baby?
Was very very weird. What
is that? The making of the baby?
No. The making of the baby was less of a sex scene. The sex scene that we were shooting was like to establish that we were like. Just when we moved to Paris and things were good and it was like the good sex. It was supposed to be the good sex scene. The director is this amazing director, Agnieszka Holland.
God bless you.
Who's sort of an art house director. She's this amazing sort of Polish director. And she was directing this, you know, it ended up not being a particularly great version of Rosemary's Baby. I don't know why we needed to remake Rosemary's Baby, but it needed to be remade.
It was kind of doomed to begin.
So she was working on it, and she's this amazing director and has all these artistic sensibilities. So she decided that there should be this cat involved. There was this whole cat plot line that we had a cat. And so we were suddenly like making love. And she's like a yeller too. If things aren't going the way, she comes in, she goes, "You're Americans, you can't hold each other, you kiss her." So she's yelling at you. It's like a camp superintendent.
And then
she throws the cat in. So if you see the scene, it's just like two actors who just have really zero sexual chemistry whatsoever, who've kind of just met. She might have even, because now she's having babies, she might have even been pregnant at the time, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
But you can feel it.
But not just with the devil's baby.
We had just met, like, you know, she's doing sex scenes with, like, whatever, like, Chris Pratt. Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, "Hey, I'm the guy from Suits. Let's go." And it was just not happening. We're giving it our all, though. There's a cat jumping around the room. Suddenly it's like, she was like, "Move out of the way. I got the silhouette now." And it's like, you don't know what that means. Exactly. So now when you watch it, which you shouldn't, there is just a lot of cat, like there's having sex and then a cat's involved. So there's animal and sex is very good.
Yeah, I made
and I'm allergic
to
cats too.
No.
So that like made it that much better. Yeah.
Sounds like the
cat would keep scratching us.
Most unsexy scene of all time.
Exactly. I made love to a woman in Denver, actually. This is probably maybe 11 years ago. And she had this bird, this little gray bird that used to sit on my shoulder. It used to sit on my shoulder while we'd hook up.
Get out.
Swear.
What was the name of the bird?
I don't remember. It might be dead by now, but some birds live a long time though.
Did it have a name?
50, 60 years sometimes.
I mean, not did it have a name. Did it talk? Was it what, like a parrot that spoke? Like,
no, maybe made like a, but like a,
did it cry? Was it crying softly?
I like that you were just okay with this, by the way, that you were like,
was this a regular thing or was
Denver,
it just like,
dude, it's Colorado.
Was it just a regular thing or this just happened one time and you were like,
no, she had a bird that was just loose in her, you know, like a pet bird.
And yeah. But I mean, were you sleeping with her regularly? Like the bird? Regular. You,
I mean,
her,
I would say
it was
probably
some that you guys were used to.
It was probably 2 out of 5 times the bird perched on me.
Okay.
So,
oh my God.
And it kind of takes you back to a time
animals?
That we don't live in anymore. Yeah, yeah, I feel like.
What,
I
just, when animals are involved in sex?
No, when everybody's just kind of doing their thing.
Very Burning Man. It's Burning Man.
Very Burning Man.
Yeah.
It's like when your dog comes up and starts licking your toe when you're having sex with something. And you're like, whoa. Very normal thing you're doing, but the timing of it is way off base.
But then sometimes you're cool with it.
Yeah,
right?
And then sometimes you're like, feels good.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm just gonna go with it.
Sometimes like both toes.
Wow.
Well, while we're on the topic,
we're all gonna get arrested.
I have a question from one of our social media fans. Ezra Samuel wants to know how wedding preparations are going.
Hi, Ezra. I'm not telling you.
No.
Yeah, no. Troyan and I are really.
His fiance is awesome.
Troyan is my fiance.
He's
one of only few people that can say he's happily engaged to a Pretty Little Liar.
Mm. Ooh. What do you mean? Because none of them are engaged?
No, because. People don't happily say I'm engaged to a liar.
To a liar.
See what I did there?
But they are.
Oh, but they are. But they don't have yes.
But they can't say it.
But they can't say it.
We are great. We're going to go do a play together.
Ooh.
And we joyfully don't ever talk about that with anybody. There's so much of our lives has been sort of lived out in public, especially because our entire relationship, literally, we began dating the day she came back from shooting the pilot of Pretty Little Liars. So our entire relationship has sort of walked hand in hand with the sort of extraordinary experience we both had with television. So at some point along the way, we made the decision, and I think it was when we decided to get married, that it was like, there's just some things we just don't need to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, but are you nervous to go do a play together?
Like super working? Excited. No, super excited. We love working together. We met doing a play together. Oh. We just did a film together, which I directed and we wrote together. And then this was really, I was going to go do this play. And then there was this great part in it that she was perfect for. And so she auditioned for it completely separately from me because she had met the director and the playwright and they said, come along. So for us, it's a, you know, we don't get to spend a lot of time every year. So this, we get to just go move to San Diego and
that's cool.
And live with each other and do a play.
So I know that I can't see Theo more than an hour a day.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine working with him more. But not that we're engaged, Theo.
No, dude, we're
actually,
just
we
friends.
We walked a carpet last night.
Wait. We just went from just friends to
we walked the red carpet of Point Break last night, and they were taking our pictures.
The new Point Break?
Mm-hmm.
How was it? Bad. Action-y. And bad.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah, it did.
Did you have high hopes?
I did.
Awesome action, though. Amazing
awesome action.
Yeah.
And the... it's just like a bunch of scenes thrown together with a little bit of dialogue, yeah, which you don't
and
even
the dialogue
understand.
Looked really uncomfortable.
It's very
it looked like it was dubbed, even in the trailer. It didn't look real.
The point of the story, though,
hey, I'm Brody.
Yes.
What? What did he say?
You didn't believe anybody in it.
And we were also right by the speaker where we could hear like the music louder than we could hear the dialogue. Oh, yeah, so a lot of the time we were
probably
like,
better
what
that
the
way.
Hell's
it's probably better
on?
That way, though.
But yeah. We walked the carpet and they took our pictures and Theo felt the need to tell every photographer that we stopped, we're just friends. We're just friends.
Hey.
I think you got us as fair, man.
And I said, if I was a girl, I would take such offense to that.
Well, you take offense.
Just friends. Just
they
friends.
All laughed. They had a great time.
Yeah, it's true.
They had a great time.
Anyway.
Do you guys like red carpets? Is that a thing? Do you do those a lot?
We're starting to now to help with this, you know, and we've been lucky to get a lot of press with some of the
cool
podcasts with guests we've had and been invited to do some of the stuff. And Theo's got a Netflix special of his own premiering in February.
What's that? February 26th.
What's it called?
Just stand up. It's called No Offense.
Nice. Congrats.
So
seems about apropos. No Offense.
Where did you do it? Where did you record it?
Down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Pretty excited, man. Yeah.
Cool, man. Good for you.
We'll see. We're out there promoting that stuff. I think it's a blast, dude. I have fun.
I want to get better at it. I'm so miserable on those things. I'm so self-conscious.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did one recently, this guy. Oh, you mean podcast?
No. Red carpets.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I've been working them for years, you know, because I worked on the other side. So I know them. It's fun for me to be on the other side and just have a blast with it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I've tried to do.
It's hard, but, you know, just... It's also ridiculous.
What
and the money
at
that
you?
The yelling, the people, the money it's spent on this, that, it's all so dumb.
It's also if you're not like... If you're not really famous, I have so many terrible red carpet stories, but like one where I was at like the Golden Globes or a big one where it's like everyone is more famous than you are.
Right.
And then so they're just sticking you in a line like cattle, you know, when you get to the big step and repeat and they're like, okay, you're just here. You're here. And then they push like Sofia Vergara out in front of me and they're like, get ready. I'm like, no.
No.
I don't want to do this. It's going to be awful. They're like, go.
And then it's just,
they shoot you out. And then it's like, there's just a sea of people all taking pictures of Sofia Vergara.
Over there.
Like people go insane for Sofia Vergara on the red carpet. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have.
Yes.
So people just lose their minds. And then there's this guy.
And then there's like one flesh.
Two stand over there and they're just like, get out of the way. And at one point I was like next to the same red carpet. I'm next to the Sienna Miller.
Oh.
And she's over here and I'm over here and we're kind of doing our thing. I'm trying to be cool and confident. And Sienna Miller's doing her thing. And then some photographer's like, hey, why don't you two get together?
And you've never met her before.
Never met Sienna Miller. And I kind of look over. And, I mean, it is Sienna Miller, though. So
yeah,
I'm like, okay, it's Sienna
Miller.
And I look over and I kind of, I'm like, what do you think? And it's like, Ethan, what do you want to do? And she's just, absolutely not. She looks at me and she goes, no. So there's pictures of Sienna Miller looking at me with this disgusted face. And then she walks away. And then, of course, they all stop taking
pictures.
That's
so funny that you say that because I was thinking in my head the equivalent, like, who would I say no to?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. There's probably very few, but like, if Donald Trump was there, I probably wouldn't do it, just personally. There's very few.
Yeah.
But you were that guy for Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
So, hey, congrats
on
that.
I understand. I mean, it would be an even weirder picture if it was Sienna Miller. Well, like,
that's
tracing each other on a red carpet.
They have to hold papers of our names before we go.
Yeah.
They
do that for everybody.
Yeah.
That's an everybody thing.
That's good.
Other than Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, of course. All right. That was my last question.
Just for a general question for, you know, other entertainers out there and just people who aren't entertainers, regular people just who are listening. How hard is this town?
Hi, regular people.
How hard is this town?
Oh, God. It's a tough place. It's a tough place to work. I do think that any industry is really, really tough. Like, so I don't think it's easy to do any great job at it at the upper levels that we all want to do our jobs. I think the hard part about this town is that everybody is here to do sort of the same thing. And so that just makes the whole city is buzzing with people all kind of vying for the same piece of food. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much of it. And I think that makes it hard. It also makes it really exciting and it makes it really fun. And there's
it gets nasty too.
Yeah. It can be really heartbreaking because you got a lot of people here. Like everybody has their special voice. Everybody's got that special thing that they got to tell the whole world and they all come down here to tell it. And not everyone's going to get to. And that breaks my heart because you want everybody to have that opportunity, but there's just not enough room in the world for all those people to get their voices sold. So it becomes a little bit like, you know, people having to fight it out. And that, you know, hurts because we've all seen friends that have tried and failed at being here. And then when they tap out, there's something really like, you know, there's some people who can do it in an empowered way and go, man, this is not for me. I'm out of here. But the people who just the people who that the city breaks. It breaks. I feel like it breaks the whole group of friends.
I'm right there. I'm right on the
but
edge.
The problem is with so many artists and so many comedians, everybody, we care so much. We want people to like us. Yeah. Please like me. Please listen to me. And that's death to us.
Let me just
nobody wants to get on that train.
Wrap this up. I'm curious. Do people approach you for legal advice?
No.
No, honestly?
Not. No.
John Larroquette. I know a guy who approached John Larroquette.
That's true. No, you know how like George Clooney on ER would say like people came up and said like, do you know the matter? I would assume people would think that you might have a basic understanding.
People ask if I know anything, but I think anyone who watches the show realizes. I think we've changed the United States Constitution on the show, I believe.
Maybe
twice. Like anyone who watches the show knows that we're not really. I mean, I have friends.
But you have an honorary law degree.
Not a law degree.
A law.
A membership to the Law Society of the University of Dublin.
Okay, well.
It's a law society.
I don't have that, so you got to know something.
Well, if you need, and I have listened to Serial, the podcast. I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I'm about to go into a contract with something. Can I ask you for help?
Sure, absolutely. I'll look it over for you.
That's round two.
All right, Patrick.
Oh God, I gotta judge you guys based on that.
One, a better interview.
I wasn't paying attention.
Well, we love that from our interview.
I was just no. It was a flow going, and I'm not allowed to say you guys tied.
You can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want.
Guys, I'm not trying to do it just to make friends here. I call that a tie. I felt like that was a great little three way that we had. I felt like we just kind of were bouncing ideas off of each other.
Can you say that again?
We all had a three way.
Dreams I'm do out. Come true.
I was the referee.
Dreams come
just
true.
Just friends.
Round three.
So round three is our debate, and I picked this topic because it has a pun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the all-time debate of boxers or briefs,
okay.
Or boxers or legal briefs.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yes, I know this is. I know I've seen your Twitter, and you know, I know you're very. There's a lot of political stuff that you have opinions on, but
sure.
We're going to go for boxers or briefs.
Let's do it.
If you don't
mind.
You got it.
I love that my Twitter got political all of a sudden.
I think
I retweeted a couple of political things where I just like sound off on debates. And now I've had a few people that I've talked to recently be like, you get very political with your Twitter. I'm like, I think mostly the time I'm just eating ice cream and just being like, who the fuck is this guy?
So in other words, don't go to you for legal advice or political.
All right, 1 minute on the clock. Matt's up.
Okay. So I'm a briefs person, always been, never, ever worn boxers. I mean, I've tried it. I feel that if I wanted to wear a pair of shorts, I'd wear a pair of shorts. I don't feel comfortable in them. And I'm going to tell you, aesthetically, looking at other people, I really quite like briefs on people because guys, in my persuasion, mm-hmm. like to see that kind of tightness mm-hmm. and that bulge. So
Jeepers
that's on the, but personally.
Even if the person's done, Jay?
What's that?
Even if the person's not in great shape.
Yeah, because I want to check it out just for shits and giggles, too. I like
Copy.
To say that.
All right.
And I also feel that it's more practical and that it keeps it in, you know, and I like to be secure
mm-hmm.
all the time. And that might be just a testament of my personality. I don't like go by the Burning Man seat of my pants,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
So I like to be nice and roped in.
At Burning Man, it's called shirt cocking.
Is that a minute? Okay. One more time. Just a minute for me, too.
Go now. She's
okay,
getting funny.
So I have to say boxers because first of all, briefs is for children. Briefs is for children. You see like a little child running by, 2-year-old or something. He has mm-hmm. on briefs. You
I'm
know?
Not wearing Wonder Woman. Like,
but I'm just saying, an adult can't be dressing like a child. You can't have like an adult man running around dressed like he's, you know, Batman fan. You know, I just think I feel like it's inappropriate and I feel like it's a little seedy. You know, I don't want to see a man you got your nuts all locked up, look like they it almost looks like a war crime. Mm-hmm. Like you have
it's like wrestling or something.
Yeah, it's almost like taping
torturing.
Your nuts to your body.
Yeah.
You know?
That's twice you brought that up.
Okay,
So you feel for the nuts.
I just don't think it's right, and a lot of people think that cancer starts right there.
Oh, well, geez.
So that's what you
get. When you say a lot of people think that cancer starts there.
Are these doctors that we're talking about?
These are lawyers. Are people dressed like doctors? Are people dressed like doctors?
So cancer. Brief equals cancer. Yeah.
It could.
And potential pedophilia.
It's not definite, but it's possible.
I've heard it leads to lower sperm count.
Well,
I've never heard
cancer. Never heard cancer.
But if you don't have a lot of sperm.
I think you're both wrong.
You have more room for cancer.
Oh, you're going to go. Oh, well, there's two other options. Well, there's three other. Well, you could.
There's options you've never used.
You could wear women's.
Wow. Okay.
There's
women's a lot
stuff.
Of options. But on the playa, there's a thing called shirt cocking, which is where it's the one rule of Burning Man. Like, you can do anything at Burning Man, right?
Right.
But the one thing you can't do, the one thing that anyone, even if the hardest core burner that's been going for years, for decades, if they see you walking around with no underwear but a t-shirt on, that's called shirt cocking.
Wow. Okay.
And it's the great offense of Burning Man.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
You are not allowed to do that. And if you see people doing it, they get mocked.
Women and men?
What?
It's more the men.
More men. Yeah, well, because it's shirt cocking.
Cocking, yes. Yeah. But
women can do whatever the hell they want. Okay. Yeah.
And are men doing that?
People do it. Oh, people do it. Jesus. Well, because you lose control of Burning Man, you kind of lose your mind a little bit. You just kind of you stop remembering things that you think in the normal world. You go, I'm waking up, I'm going to put my pants on before I go to the bathroom, let's say.
Right.
But like, you could get up and just be like, I'm got to go to the bathroom. And then you get halfway to the bathroom and you realize you're not wearing your pants. Right. That kind of thing is not out of the question.
Have you shirt cocked?
Have you shirt cocked? And what is the most stage of undress that you've gotten at Burning Man?
I have never been naked at Burning Man, but I have a deep desire to try one. We kept threatening. I said, we're here. Shouldn't we just be naked and just walk around the block just once? But given my, given that it's so stupid, but given that you're on a television show or whatever, it's like all it takes is just
that video
one
would
guy
sell,
and that video. Yeah, yeah. I've seen videos of like Will Smith at Burning Man. It's like, I do not need a picture of me. And I don't think, maybe if I looked better naked, I'd have if I was really confident about my naked body.
Like Randy Quaid.
You look great.
Oh, like Randy Quaid.
Yeah. If I had more of a Quaid porn shape.
So wait, so your choice is shirt cocking, or what do you do?
You don't do
that on your everyday life.
So boxers or briefs then?
Yeah.
But you're asking me for the debate. I mean, because you're asking me what I do.
Yeah, what do you think?
I wear boxers. I wear boxers.
He likes boxers.
But
dude,
which debate did you like better?
Exactly. That's what I'm.
Yes.
I don't agree with cancer. You had so many other.
You were there until the cancer.
Well, we're all there until the cancer. I mean, it would be unfortunate.
Yeah, I got to go with Matthew on this one.
Yeah.
And even though I disagree with everything he said, you didn't hold up our end of the bargain.
Okay.
Speaking of holding up, I'm not happy about it. And briefs. So that makes it
a tie. That's a tied game. Yeah, it's tied. How do we break that tie?
There's only one person who can do it.
Well, you got to do something.
Yeah.
Give him some tape.
Shirt cocking it is.
who shirt cocks better?
I think we're all winners here today.
I think we all are winners. We can go with that.
Yeah. All right. This might be our second tie ever.
Yeah. Second tie ever.
Second tie ever.
I'm Canadian, so that's fitting.
Well, then it's he's Canadian, so it's a void ruling anything.
None of this means anything.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they don't accept it.
I wouldn't have even had you on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I let the team down.
Ever since y'all got here, man, everything's changed.
I do thank you for Celine, though. Anyway.
And Drake.
And Greg?
Yeah.
And Drake. Drake and Drake. Greg.
And Greg. Okay. Drake, I don't really thank you for Drake.
No.
Or Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
Ooh, Wolves.
William Shatner.
William
and
Shatner.
Wolves.
Yep.
And Wolves.
Yeah, and that happens. And so anyway.
That's it.
Now we know who the real winner of the podcast is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Hey,
no worries. Lickman.
Thank you very much for coming on, Patrick.
Thank you.
So Suits is on now.
Yes.
Season 5.
No, it's not airing
not on
now.
Right
It'll
now.
Be on in January.
In January.
You can watch it. Yeah.
And you can watch it.
Yeah.
And then you're doing
and
a play
then,
in
I'm
going
to do a play. Come see the play. I'm going to be doing a play in San Diego at the Old Globes called The Last Match. Troy and I are going to be doing it February through March. A month.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome.
So it'll be worth coming down.
The Last Match?
It's called The Last Match, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And by the way, Fabio just walked in. We can say that.
Anybody sensed on the podcast why we all got a little weird right there. Fabio just walked in.
Literally just walked in.
All I wanted to do was go, Fabio.
You know, he got hit by that bird. You see that? He hit a duck.
He did. No, on a roller coaster.
Yeah, he hit a duck.
I was really
coaster.
Tempted. He didn't hit the duck. Yeah. The duck hit him. I don't know why.
They both hit each other.
Well, I guess so. But I was really tempted to
just fuck him up.
Things haven't been the same.
Yeah.
For the duck or Bobby.
It kind of quacked his face a little.
Hey.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's cute. Though.
I just wanted him to say, hi, this is Fabio, and then walk away. Like, that's all I wanted to. Oh, well.
I'm sort of sad he didn't show up on a horse.
He was beautiful. I only saw him for like a second, but
that is a gorgeous
man.
So,
in other words, Fabio won the podcast.
Yeah, Fabio.
Okay. That's a new one. Yeah. Fabio won the. Congratulations, Fabio. We are sponsored by Dobel Tequila.
Yes.
So, here, buddy.
Oh, can I start now?
Yeah, yeah, dude. You can start whenever you want.
Huh. Yeah, you and Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid
bro.
Style. He broke it open.
Dennis did?
Yeah.
Oh, Dennis.
So, thank you with Dobell. Thank you, and enjoy your bottle of tequila.
Thank you. Congratulations on everything, Patrick. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, talk soon.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.